So welcome again.
Thank you.
Start off with number one here. What have you learned about the City of Sitka Municipal Administrator position that makes you feel you're the best or the ideal match for the position?
I really feel like my experience on City Council and County Commission has really led me to this position. You know, to be honest, if I wasn't a County Commissioner, I wouldn't have known about this position because I get Prothman's letters coming across my desk quite frequently. I've seen them from Oregon and Washington. And when this one came up, I first saw that it was a municipal administrator, and then I saw it was from Sitka, Alaska, and that gave me, it was just more interested, and so I read through it, and I'm like, this is kind of everything I'm doing now. And I was thinking to myself, what am I gonna do after I'm done being elected official? I do own a motel, but this is, to me, like the next logical step. And everything that I'm doing now is, I feel like for me, it's kind of a shoe-in for what you guys expect of me to do as city administrator.
When you think of what you're doing now, explain what that is.
Okay, no, that's good. I appreciate that. So a lot of the things that you have asked or are put in the Prothman job description for the city administrator. So a lot of the things that I'm doing now, I work with the police, I work with other departments, and we meet regularly to find out what's going on. They talk to me as a county commissioner. And so when things come up, I've been like the first one they go to. Now there's three of us, so we have divided responsibilities, but part of my responsibilities has been over our clerk auditor, EMS, police, fire, trying to think of other departments, IT, HR, and so a lot of them have reported to me. You know, a lot of people that when we talked last night were kind of surprised we don't have a county administrator. It's just, I guess, our the county commission has been administrating our county. So hopefully that explains a little bit more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Tristan, did you want to go next?
Let's go down the line, right?
Yep. That's our intent.
In the clockwise, it'll, yeah.
Probably jump around a bit later.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of break this into a two-part question.
Okay.
And very, very similar. So first, just like to have you explain your work with other governmental or community organizations, and how do you see the value of these relationships, and how do you really navigate and move those relationships forward? And the kind of second part of this, you know, that more generally, is we have a government-to-government relationship with Sitka Tribe of Alaska, and they have about 2,500 tribal citizens here in Sitka, make up a sizable percentage of our population, and so I'm wondering if you could speak to any past experience working with tribes or working with culturally diverse populations, but specifically tribes, and how would you see growing that relationship with the tribe?
Okay, so the first one I'll address. As County Commissioner, I've really had a good relationship building with our Utah governor and his chief of staff, and also the various offices that they have. There's the Governor's Office of Economic Development that we've really worked with. There's the Economic Development, I'm trying to remember what the acronym means. It's EDC Utah. It's Economic Development of Utah. And we're really trying to work with them to develop our economy because it's very small and it's not very diverse. So if one thing goes down, it hurts us a lot. But with that, we've also worked very heavily with our federal representatives, state and Senate, in trying to get bills passed that affect our county. And it's been very good to have that relationship with them. We do have a lobbyist that we have hired on the federal side, but we still want that personal communication as commissioners as well. But our lobbyist has been very good for us in developing that relationship. So on the second question about the tribes, I really haven't had any experience working with tribes. In our county, we don't have Native Americans. All around us we do, but I haven't. But to answer you, really in working with them, a lot of it just boils down to communication. You know, what type of communication are you gonna have with them? Do they communicate back? Does it need to be proactive? All of that, I hope to have a good relationship with them because, like you said, they're a large chunk of your community. and there needs to be an open communication with them.
Okay, thank you. I'll tell you right now, I think I kind of am going to stray from the script here that we were given. And one of the things in this process that I've asked the community to do is go ahead and forward questions that they wanted me to ask of the candidates.
Okay.
And there's a pretty big constituency out there following very closely what we're doing. So pardon me, some of these questions will not be to the governance of the city. They're more of kind of ascertaining your views, your worldviews.
Okay.
So I would like to ask about your thoughts on climate change.
Okay. So this has been one, I guess, I've kind of struggled with. I do believe in climate change, but only in the way that climate, I think, naturally changes. Is man part of global warming? I don't know. You know, science, at least the talking heads say, the scientists say that that's what is causing global warming. But in the 70s, they were saying we're going to go into a new ice age. So in my own research, and this is what's tough, because everyone has their own ideas and they have their own observations. I would really love to hear from scientists, but I haven't heard from any of them. It's all been talking heads deciphering what the scientists have been saying in their reports. But in my own research, where CO2 is only 0.04% of our atmosphere, and they're saying that man-made CO2 is the problem with global warming and climate change, I can't see how 0.04% of our atmosphere and increasing that actually increases the temperature very much. So, you know, I'm open. I really am. But doing my own research and not listening to talking heads, I would like to find out more and find out if human-caused climate change is the problem, or if it's just a natural phenomenon in our world. So right now, I guess I believe in climate change, but only as far as the natural cycle of things.
Thank you.
A two-part question for myself as well. First part is going to be, as your duties as county commissioner, how many people are underneath you? Are you in charge of? And then the second part, I see that I don't know if it's your departments or the entire county has a approximately $15 million budget.
Mm-hmm.
Sitka's entire budget is approximately $90 million.
Right.
Massive jump there.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know how you're going from your fewer department heads to now a massively complex city where we do control our own utilities and services. We are in charge of 90% of those. How are you going to be able to make that jump into this extremely complex system?
I guess the way I've looked at it, I don't look at it as extremely complex. The only two things that I would have a greater learning curve on would be your electricity and your harbor. That's basically the only two things I'm unfamiliar with. On city council, we had public works. In county, we have roads. We have HR, we have assessors, we have all the different departments that you guys have here. They're just larger because your base is larger. And so the numbers will be bigger, and I think a lot of it is because of your harbor and because of the electricity, but they're just two extra departments that I'd have to become familiar with. So as a complexity, it's similar to what I'm dealing now. It's just adding two more departments onto it. So I don't see like it would be a problem looking into the budget and making sure it's all working.
And then how many people are you in charge of currently?
Oh, very good. 130. That's the total in our county.
And that's just you, or that's all three commissioners combined?
No, well, that's all three commissioners. That's all the employees in the county.
Okay, so how many people direct report to you?
Really just the directors. So upwards of 10.
Okay.
Maybe, and that would include elected officials as well.
Thank you.
Yep.
So thanks for coming up. I'm hoping that you are enjoying your stay. Last night was it was interesting seeing everybody interact, and in particular, it was interesting seeing you interact with some of the community folks that came and visited with you and staff. I wanted to get at a little bit more at the question that Aaron asked in a little bit different direction. Sitka has a really rich history with our fishing fleet here, whether it's with our community members fishing for filling their freezers to our economic fleet here, you know, with our commercial fishing from charter to the other commercial fleet pulling fish out of the water and selling it around the world. We also have a very rich history of fisheries research and our hatcheries here developing a sustainable fishery and continuing to grow our fisheries here and sustain our economic way of life around our fisheries and our way of life. I don't know if you read a little bit about how recently the Chinook fishery was actually closed to everybody. Nobody can retain a king salmon at this point.
I did hear about that.
And it's of great concern to a lot of people, whether it's, you know, bringing it home for your freezer or bringing it home for your livelihood. Those impacts, we don't really know why some of this stuff is happening. And this assembly, past assemblies, and the community is really, really concerned about our changes in our environment. And climate change seems to be, to a lot of people, seems to be one of those factors. I'd like you to talk a little bit more about how coming into this position, while it is a political position, you have to negotiate through a lot of different groups and people and have discussions, bring dialogue to the table. Talk a little bit about how you might do that with this particular issue.
Okay. In part, some of my discussions that I've had already about the king salmon, you know, there's it's interesting that I even heard that there's still snow on the mountains. That might, and with the runoff, it's creating a cold water coming out, which prohibits the salmon from going up into the river for spawning. So there might be a delay in that. So it'd be nice to find out the science. Will we? I don't know. There could be a lot of theories that happen with that. Maybe it's overfishing in some areas. One thing that I found to be quite encouraging was that it sounded like Alaska has a very progressive fishing program, where I believe the 3% is taxed on the commercial fishermen that go back into the fisheries to help restock the oceans. And, you know, the way that I would really go about this is get the information that's necessary, that's available, so the best scientific information, and give it to the assembly to make the best decision moving forward. Whatever my opinions are really doesn't matter. It's what's available out there to give to you. And so if there's differing opinions out in the public, that's another thing. I will also bring that to you, and I'll tell you what people are saying. And maybe my biggest thing that I've noticed, sometimes like with the federal government, they have their scientists, but they're not feet on the ground. They're not the hunters. They're not the fishers. And so I like to hear from the hunters and fishers who actually have feet on the ground in their areas of concern, and they're the ones who I think bring the best information back. And so I would really like to hear from them on what they feel is going on and why the king salmon was cut off early. And I would just bring that back to you guys. So it boils down to really just who you're communicating with and I guess how.
Thanks, Keith. As you came in, you passed a statue of a gentleman named Baranoff, and it depicts a hero to some people and an evildoer to others. How would you respond to a request from members of the community to have it removed?
Very good question. I know this has been going along a lot on in Charlottesville. And that's a tough question. I really don't think that our history should be whitewashed. Maybe he is a villain. Maybe he is a hero. But he still represents history. And I don't think we should forget our history, where we came from, what happened to get us to where we're at right now. And so, you know, the things that are happening in Charlottesville, I think, are horrible. Because, like I said, I just don't believe in whitewashing history. Because if we don't have it there to remind us, like the phrase says, you know, we're going to be doomed to repeat it. And that would be the worst travesty than having the statue still up, is repeating the history that we've already been through. And I don't think we want to go there again.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. I'm going to get back to a couple of our questions about job duties.
Okay.
And I would like to hear some of your experiences developing annual budgets and how you would see yourself working with the assembly and leadership staff to develop policies to maintain a strong fiscal position of the city, fund balances, reserve funds, and capital funding. So basically the whole gamut of our city.
Okay. So in my experience, what we've done is, on the city side, we all met together as elected officials. We're all given assignments with our different duties within the city and also within the county. So I might be melding both of them. And so with that experience, we usually meet with the department heads and we discuss what budget they want based off of, you know, last year and also going into the future of what they see they're going to need. And so we have that discussion with them. And then as elected officials, we would decide or bring them back in to say, hey, we can't do this or we can do this, and try to work the budget out according to the revenues we're receiving. And our clerk auditor has been awesome in really helping us navigate that and making sure that there's enough money to be saved and enough money left over for the budget for general operations, and making sure that we're achieving what we want to moving forward. In our vision, and where our community wanted to go. So I guess bottom line, it comes down to meeting with the department heads, finding what they want. But really, if you guys asked me to be in this position, we would bring the budget back to you and say, these are our pros and cons of the budget. This is what the department head wants here. It's over budget. You know, say we're over budget $2 million. You're gonna have to carve somewhere. That would be coming back to really you. But hopefully I would do all the homework I could up front to let you know what's happening and why these departments are asking for more than they haven't asked in the past. And then it would really become the assembly's decision on where that budget would go from there and what would be cut based off of what you see the city needs versus what the department sees they need.
All right, so already touched on this a little bit, but I'm wondering if you could explain your experience working with elected officials and explain how you will develop communication protocols to keep the assembly informed, to avoid surprises, to maintain the direction or that vision that the city or that the assembly is given. How do you execute that? And then what are your expectations as far as staff's communication with assembly? And I don't want to give you too much, but I'm wondering if maybe touching on a little bit, you know, knowing your background as an elected official, kind of how do you make that transition from being the elected official, being that person who really is setting the vision.
Instruction from elected officials.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought of a lot about that too. I'm like, man, do I want to do this? overall, I think it would be okay in the transition, because the information I need to give you is just the best correct information, good or bad, because you need to know good and bad information to make the best choices available. And so really for me, I guess I view myself as like a fact finder for you. And I'm trying to remember all of your questions quite a bit. But basically, the lines of communication, I guess it depends on how you guys wanted to formulate that. Would it be me and I would be the buffer between the departments and you? Or would it be that each of you have assignments to each department that you become familiar with and that you can bring back here, but that they would, that the department heads would still report to me? So there could be kind of like a two witness thing, if you will, depending on what's going on. But if there's a crisis, I would assume that the department head would talk to me, and then I would contact all of you either through email or mass text or something, or even from a phone call, depending on how quickly the information needed to get out, and that we would deal with whatever was happening at the time. So hopefully that answered all your questions. I'm not sure if it did. Is there anything else? Or is there a follow-up?
Okay. No, I think you got at it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry for the...
No, it's all good.
All right, I'll get back to the list as well. If we do another round, I'll come back to this.
All right, fair enough.
Describe how you will get to know the city department directors and their projects. How will you go about finding the status of department projects and issues in the city and in the community?
Okay, so I usually have a book with me at all times. I like to take notes, and it helps me just remember what I've been learning, who I've been meeting with. And so, like, this notebook and this book right now is, like, just full of information from my research of just this job and in a sitcom. So my biggest thing that I would do is go talk to them, you know, find out what's going on, and really emphasize honesty, because I believe if we don't have honesty, we can't talk honestly to each other, again, good or bad, of what's going on. And our attitudes or personalities towards things, we can't move forward, because then we're just being false to each other, and that doesn't help anybody. So I really, you know, I guess I would prize honesty almost above everything else, but obviously with honesty comes integrity. So I would emphasize just honesty with the department heads, and I would just sit down with them, and I would have them lay out everything that's going on, everything they want to get done, and hopefully we can bring that together. I believe Megan's working on a comprehensive plan, and I'm hoping that she can, I believe she's working with the community on that, but also with the community, bring that to department heads so they can see what the community wants, and department heads can figure out where to go from there. So it's not just this pie in the sky, unachievable dreams, but make them achievable through the departments, and then bring that back to you guys so we all have one, you know, vision moving forward for the community. But really, bottom line, it just boils down to communication and finding out what the directors want to do, what's going on. I've already had quite a few conversations with them, and I got to tell you, I haven't met someone I don't like. So hopefully I've already started building that rapport with them. Yeah.
So I'm going to take a quote from your cover letter here, and then ask you to expand upon that. It says, "I believe experience should trump formal education," and it continues on, which I could agree with. The real world experience is great. However, as a business owner and a assembly member myself, I don't find myself necessarily the best candidate for this potential position. Could you elaborate on your experiences that get you from business owner, county commissioner,
to this position?
To this position, correct.
Okay. So, Mike, I put that quote in there for a reason, because in your job description, it said you wanted someone with a formal, like, city administration degree, and I don't have that. Mine's in marketing. And so my transition from marketing, I bought a motel, which my marketing proved to work out for me really well for my motel, because otherwise I'd be forking out a lot of money that I didn't have to right now, which was good. And I just kind of continued that marketing really into the city council position, into the county commission position. And I'll tell you how it kind of worked out. I've seen, and hopefully you guys won't take offense to this, but government is horrible at marketing. They just are. They usually have their tourism, which does okay, and if you have a private ad agency, they do really well, but by and large, government entities just they don't advertise or market themselves very well. So when you're trying to get projects done, when you're trying to put information out there to, say, other elected officials that could help you out, if it looks like a form letter, they're not going to read it. But if you turn it into an infographic with simple stuff on there, they're more likely to look at it. It's about presentation, and that's what marketing is. So aside from that, I've really tried to work on, you know, marketing where I've been to for economic development, tourism, whatever, events, and really try to, I guess, bring wherever I've been into, like, let's say the 21st century with marketing and all the social media websites. So with that, why I think my experience lends itself to this position. I really feel that what I've been able to accomplish in making hard decisions, going after and taking on hard things within the county and the city really lends itself to this position. I know you guys are in hard times. I know Alaska's in hard times fiscally. And, you know, the city and the county are as well. Maybe it's this effect that we're having now in our country. And those are just waters that need to be navigated, and I believe I can help you have the right information to navigate those waters. And a lot of that's communication. And as an elected official, especially in the county side, I've had a lot of people come talk to me, and I go back to the department heads to find out what, you know, if this information they've given me is correct, or what information I need to take back to that constituent that has, you know, told me these things, so they have the correct information. And so one of the people that I talked to said that the person who he's in his mind who would take the optimal, there would be the optimal candidate here, would be someone who could navigate the community, but also navigate the assembly and the city office workings. And I really believe I can do that just with the experience I have had, especially as a county commissioner. There's been a lot of community outreach and a lot of workings we've had to do within the county to make it stable and work right. So hopefully I answered your question.
So I really appreciated hearing from a few of the staff members that you had actually reached out to a lot of them already, and you actually alluded to this a little bit ago too, and that you had some time to sit and chat with them a little bit. You probably figured out that we have a incredible core of, not only from our senior managers, but on down the line, an incredible core of people who work for the city and dedicate a lot of time and efforts and passion to the job that they have. Can you talk a little bit about, from your leadership style, how you would manage some really intelligent minds, but also some people who are going after, very driven people who are going after the things that they want for their department, and how, you know, you kind of massage that so that it's a good global picture.
Right. And I really think that's where the vision comes in, starting, again, going back to Megan's comprehensive plan and what the assembly and the city wants Sitka to become. And a lot of that would just be making sure that it's in line with that comprehensive plan. So, like you said, you have a lot of great staff, really do. Like I said, I haven't met someone I don't like. They're smart, they're capable. And what's kind of nice, too, is they even compliment each other and saying, like, this person's great, you know, this person's great. And so there's a lot of esteem for everybody, it seems, there. So as far as working with people who are smarter than me, I know that I'm not going to be the smartest person in the room. You know, everyone wants to claim that they are, but you got to know that you're not. And so within, like, let's say HR, even finances, harbor, electrical, and talking with Brian Bertacci, he apparently is a really smart guy in the electrical field, and I look forward to having more conversations with him about the electric, you know, the electric grid here and how it's generated from the two dams that you have. But a lot of it's just collaboration and talking and making sure that I understand what's going on and they know that I understand and can ask good questions, and then can bring that back to the assembly so you guys can make good decisions. So I feel like I'm a really good communicator and can communicate across lines with people that are going to be smarter than me in their departments, and that's their job, is really to be smarter than me. But I need to, you know, have those critical thinking skills to be like, okay, wait, you know, what about this? And I would hope that they wouldn't try to pull the wool over my eyes with anything, and I really don't think that they would after having conversations with them. But they would just give me basically the straight sauce, you know, this is how it is, this is what I want. And then we'd have to have those hard conversations of, well, okay, that's what you want, but can we do that in 3 years, not this year? And those would be decisions we'd have to make as a whole and as assembly and through the departments as well, just saying, we can't do this right now. What about next year? Or what if we get more revenue this year? Or, hey, look for a grant that might supplement you doing this. There's lots of options.
Keith, can you tell us about a time when you used your leadership ability to gain support for something which initially had strong opposition?
There's a couple of things. I might tell you both. But so when I was a city councilman, there was a nuisance abatement ordinance that was appealed before I was in. And our town was really trashy. And so I really felt like this nuisance abatement ordinance had to be unrepealed. And so there was a lot of opposition to it because a lot of people don't like government intrusions into their own property, which I understand. I don't want that either. But when one property is trashy and it brings down the property value of your neighbor, we kind of have problems. And so we had a lot of community outreach and meetings, especially with, I guess you can say the opposition leaders, but they were just individuals who really opposed what I was trying to do and what the original nuisance abatement ordinance was. And we talked about it. We refigured the things that they were most opposed to, and I was able to bring it to the city council, and we got it approved. And even since then, I think it's been about 5-6 years now since we approved that, we finally have a building inspector, code enforcement officer that's really helping to move that project along. So I know with government, it just sometimes it takes a while for things to get feet, but you got to move things along that work for your city. Another thing, as county commissioner, was our EMS. It wasn't in a good place, and so we were looking at restructuring it. And one of the things that we tried to do, and we tried to restructure because of the Affordable Care Act, it was really, there's a provision in the Affordable Care Act that said if you have so many employees, even volunteers are considered employees after so many hours of volunteering. And so I really tried to push forward a plan with the cities that there's no financial obligation. They were just a partner in forming or reorganizing our EMS system. And there was a lot of opposition to it, just because there's a lot of bad information as well that was flying around. And at one point when I was in front of a city telling them about this and hoping for their signature, I was berated in public by one of the city councilmen. And I took it and I basically said, I'm sorry you feel that way, and tried to correct some of the information that he was giving me. But in the end, they didn't. And I only had 2 cities out of 9 sign up. And so we kind of abandoned that. But even after city council, I stayed for the whole thing just to talk to him. And we were still friendly. And recently, he's now part of the restructuring, which is going a lot better. So we had to take a step back. We went with a smaller group. And it's actually going really well right now. And his compliment recently was he just appreciates what the commission has been doing to move us to this point. So I was able to turn around being berated to a compliment, which was huge. And I even had reservations putting him on the committee because of his beratement of me. But it worked out. It's all good. You're welcome.
Okay, this is question 12 here. From what you've observed and learned about Sitka, what do you see as one of our biggest challenges, and how will you go about addressing the issue?
The biggest challenge? I think the biggest challenge, at least from what I've seen, is it will probably be the finances. But the other side, too, from what I've heard from everyone, is really high cost of living. And how do you deal with that? That's a tough one. After I've heard from everyone telling me high cost of living and that it rains a lot, you know, I went online to see if what other people have done to bring down the cost of living. And there was only one thing I could really find. And they said, well, we worked out transportation, tried to lower those costs, lower food costs, and lowered utility costs. And I was just thinking here, I'm like, I don't know if we could do that. Because they are what they are. They got to pay for themselves. And the food costs, that's, you know, one thing. I think transportation is usually generally pretty cheap. So cost of living might be the biggest thing and one of the biggest challenges here. But with cost of living is part of its housing and part of its land. And like in our county, we have 92% of its public land. And so public land is choking us economically because we can't grow. That's one thing I would love to look into more is how you guys are dealing with the land issue. But in our county, we have what's called SITLA property. So it's School Institutional Trust Lands Association. And so I think it's similar to your mental health lands that you have out here, where those lands can make money depending on grazing, mineral extraction, but they can also be sold. And so I've been working with our SITLA to move those parcels around our municipalities so they can be bought, sold, or leased, and that we can grow economically. And so that would just be something I have to look into is like, how can we expand the land here for growth economically, housing, and I would really think that could lower some costs, at least something that we might have control over in lowering.
Mr. Mayor, we're at about 40 minutes. I just want to see if we have more questions to ask. Continue on.
I have a couple more short ones,
sure.
I think.
Okay.
But I just had a chance. Okay. Stephen?
If you don't mind. So as your research has indicated, you know, the state of Alaska plus Sitka is going through a little bit of a tougher economic time. Additionally, Sitka is dealing with infrastructure issues where we need to start replacing some older infrastructure. At the same time, citizens' tax or pocketbooks have been taxed and stretched significantly. So talk to me about your thoughts on replacement of city infrastructure versus user fees and rates.
Okay. I'm not sure your user fees or rates are right now. I think I've seen there have been an increase across power, water, wastewater, I believe. Is that correct? And they do need to maintain themselves, and those are tough decisions to make because you don't want to increase the fees on your constituents, but sometimes you have to. When I was on city council, we had to restructure our water system. It was a tiered system, and it wasn't making enough money for, I guess you could call it like a rainy day fund or a fund that would help with a crisis that would happen or for upgrades. And so we had to look at that really hard, and it wasn't pretty, but I can't remember the percentage it went up, but it was quite substantial. But we eliminated the tier system and went into a flat fee, but we had to increase the rates. But sometimes what's hard for any elected officials, the assembly here, is that past assemblies don't want to increase rates because it always looks bad and the constituents don't like it. But from what I understand, even here, like the rates haven't been raised in 20 years. And somehow they got to go up with rate of inflation at least. But when they haven't gone up in 20 years, sometimes you got to be the bad guy and do it and just make sure that fund is made whole. So going along with what needs to be replaced, a lot of that has to just be prioritized. Some of the times you got to put out fires because things just break, whether it's the land moving, corrosion, breakdown of whatever piping system you have, you got to put out fires. And sometimes, usually, that eats up a lot of your fundage outside of what's being planned. And so a lot of it, sometimes those priorities have to be put on the back burner because of the fires you got to put out. And hopefully, if you can communicate that with the city, they'll understand. But a lot of it, you know, I think boils down to really communication from this body or even possibly me to the community on what's going on and why we're doing what we're doing. Because they might not understand, be like, well, you're favoriting him because you live in that community too. Like, well, that's not really the case. There's a fire, you know, there's a sewer line that broke or a tree that, you know, grew into the line that we had to fix. So it's a fire that you have to put out, but also you have to look at the priorities of where you're at, how old the systems are, and, you know, what you want to fix at that time and how much it's going to cost. Because sometimes you probably should do more in a certain area just because it'll cost more later if you don't do it now. And again, that comes down to prioritization and where you want the funds to move around from, let's say, budget to budget or line item to line item. So hopefully that answers your question.
Okay. Kevin?
One of the things that we've discussed at this table, and we have a proposal coming forward here in the future for addressing some income inequalities that, you know, Sitka faces just like the rest of this nation does, really. In Sitka, there was a recent survey that showed that 17% of the population makes 51% of the income in Sitka. So we have some people here that can afford quite a bit. We have a lot of people here that cannot afford, and this was kind of brought up that, you know, budgets are tight. People are really stretched. We have a lot of people on the fringe. Can you talk a little bit about how you see economic inequalities, how visions of trying to be able to balance some of that might play into how we have fees and other tax structures within city government?
The probably one of the best things that I saw out of all the strategic plans that I've read was just, you know, affordable housing, possibly like multiple housing units, like apartments, duplexes, whatever. That could help out with the lower end, being able to afford living here. But also, I guess that goes back to another question, which, you know, is land. Is there land available for that? Part of what I've enjoyed seeing in the reports that I've read is the developments and the plans that you have, and looking at, you know, the resources, the natural resources that you have, whether it's fish, to really help bring the people here. You know, what resources are around you? What resources do you have here that you could possibly have or build as a business here? One of them I saw was your freshwater, hopefully exporting, you know, bulk water. I think that's a great idea. You guys have pretty awesome water here. But, you know, there's that cost of, well, okay, if we bring it down from the mountain and we try to filter it and then ship it off, is it really cost effective? You know, hopefully those studies have already been done. But it sounds like there's a party who was interested in it, and maybe there's more than just one. But yeah, there needs to be economic development, obviously, so there can be living wages here for people. But again, bringing down cost of living, if possible, would be helpful. And maybe the only thing that we have control over is really land and housing and how you're going to address that, because your utilities, you know, they have to make money for the long haul. They have to make money for future improvements. And how you're going to do that is something I think you guys have already looked really hard at, which I give you guys props for, because those aren't easy decisions to make that constituents don't always understand. And hopefully you've made it with some of their input, which I believe it sounds like from watching some of your assembly meetings that you do get community input. Off of every item, which is impressive, because that's not the way we roll in Utah. They have their chance, but usually it's either before or after the meeting, but we just go through our items. So hopefully that answers your question. But it is a tough issue. I agree. And that's one I hope to, you know, take on head on with you.
So rather than ask you more questions, I want to make sure you have an opportunity to ask us questions if there's anything. We have about two and a half more minutes or so.
Oh, man, I don't know. I have two questions. All right. So, yeah. And the reason I'm opening this is because one of my questions actually requires feedback from you that I'm hoping. So one of them, I'll just ask right now, is do you have any reservations about my qualifications? Okay, take that note. If you guys think about one, just let me know. The next question I'll ask is, what is the most important thing I could do in the next 90 days? So if you guys have things, you can raise your hand or just speak up, and I want to. And I'm writing this down. Yes.
If you were to ask me the first 90 days, if you were to have the seat over there, I would encourage you to negotiate the RFP between the Sitka Community Hospital, or the RFP in relation to Sitka Community Hospital, whatever that may mean. I would also like to see, like you were saying already, that you spoke to our, you know, the plan that Megan's working on and what we can really do to try to drive down costs in Sitka, the cost of living. I think that's a position that doesn't necessarily fit in the job description, but there's times that perhaps city input and us all working together and really having a good relationship, you know, there's not a big breakdown between the assembly and staff, and no one in the room is demonized by anybody else. I think we could do a lot of good things.
Okay.
So that, I think you're on track with the communication being key, but no, those are the two things that come to my mind.
All right,
right off the top of my head.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Thank you for asking that.
Do I have reservations with some of the qualifications? Yes, I do.
Okay.
I think that there's going to be a big stretch between where you are now and running this municipality. I don't think it's the next step up. I think it's the next five or six steps up.
Okay.
I'm not saying that that's impossible.
Right.
What I would expect in the next 90 days is for you to get up to speed extremely quickly. From what I've understood so far, I believe that to be a possibility. But I think you would spend the next 90 days very, very busy learning this entire municipality and how you're going to fit into that grand scheme.
And I agree with you. I really do. Because there are different things, how you guys work with the school district here. That's just different than how it works in Utah. So there will be things that are different that I'll have to get up to speed on. You know, one thing that I found out recently is, like, someone stepping into a executive position like this, there's stats out there that say that there's 40% of them that fail because they don't do certain things. And the one thing that they, well, actually three things that they bring up, there's technical, there's cultural, and there's political. And I'm hoping to address all those as quickly as I can if I'm offered the position. The technical I don't think would be that difficult, but it'd be the cultural and the political that are also key in fulfilling this position. So, okay.
So just we're right at 9:50, which means we could take five more minutes and then we can just plan on that for all candidates, and we won't have, all we'll have is 5 minute break. So if everyone's okay with that, I mean, it's good stuff here, so.
Okay.
Before you ask another, did someone else have a response or question? All right, please.
Thank you for mentioning this, and I almost forgot this one. What is your plan to increase diversity and inclusion in the city government and Sitka School District?
Okay, inclusion. So what's going on right now that's not inclusive in the school district?
Well, that this is a question, again, that comes from the constituency, and I'm assuming that the increasing diversity and inclusion is very broad. I
right.
didn't ask for specifics. Okay. I said that I was going to ask the question.
Okay.
I could give you one example from the school district would be Native hire, for example. our community is, you know, about 25% Alaska Native, mm-hmm. American Indian, and the rates of Native teachers in the district or Native administrators are fairly low. So how would you, for example, work with the school district to increase that? I think the same can be said for the city as well. We have a low percentage of Native folks working in the city as well.
You know, really bottom line is giving everyone a fair shot. Obviously, they should be qualified to do the position, but everyone should be given a fair shot. I'm not sure what, I guess, the city administrator position has over the school district, but there can also, there can always be communication of, hey, I've noticed this, this is coming from the community, can you do something about this? Make sure you're not, or let's say, that you're always thinking about, you know, diversifying your staff. But, you know, I think bottom line is just comes down to communication, and I think that's really easy to do. And I love that you guys have everything so close here. I really do. Over right now, where I live, I travel like 80 miles one way to go to my county seat. And sometimes it's all day just going to one place. So here it'd be like a little zip down to the school district to say, hey, what's going on here? I've heard this, might want to think about it, and do a follow-up later if they're hiring. So, all right.
Thank you.
Kevin?
I appreciate you asking the questions. One of the reservations that I had, and I kind of alluded it to it in the first question that I had, was the political nature of the job. Mm-hmm. It's a political appointed position, essentially. And the posts, I guess, that some people have seen that you, and comments that you have made about
climate change.
So my reservation would be your ability to, I guess, remove that from this position, because you don't want to alienate people,
right,
in your conversations with the community. You want to be have an open door. So that's one reservation. And then the first 90 days, I'll echo others, you know, getting out there, building team, building community, understanding. And you've actually alluded to this too. You've got some serious learning to do, especially about our harbors and our electrical departments, massive departments to learn and understand, especially from a capital point of view.
Okay. No, and I appreciate that. And, you know, I think we all have our own political ideologies, and really in this position, I would hope that everyone in the community would see my office as an open door, because I would want that. I really would. And regarding, you know, if we had differences, I think we can get through them and still and work together. I really do. But again, on my side, my job really is to give information to you regardless of what my political feelings are.
Well, thank you very much. We have about 15 seconds left if you have any parting wisdom.
No, I don't really. I do look forward to hopefully working with you in the future, and you know, being, you know, that buffer to the departments, but also working with you and hopefully getting you guys, if you're not already, you know, overseeing departments to doing that, because I think that would be key in part of that communication and part of that good relations that I think you could have with the departments as well, and help me out, obviously, as well, bringing that forward, and any issues that might come up. So
thank you very much,
thank
Mr.
you.
Brady. We will now take a recess until about 5 seconds before 10 a.m. so that we can call the meeting back to order.